Today on Real Radio.
No one is ever restored back into a church without biblical discipline. They may come and go, but there's been no spiritual restoration made by the design of God. Do you all hear what I'm saying? This is critical.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through 2 Corinthians. In the first 11 verses of chapter 2, we find Paul using words like pain, punishment, forgive, and phrases like causing pain and excessive sorrow. Now, obviously, we're talking about personal issues among fellow believers that must be resolved. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, quite simply, Say You're Sorry.
And people are judging. I'll give them a 5. The message, what was it? 3. That's a sin. If that pastor gave you one verse, that should be enough to convict your life and get you on your knees to pursue Christ, right? Well, how was the worship? It was a little off. That's not for us. The worship was for God, not for us. I don't like that song. Too bad. God loves it. Right? It's not about us. But a church should be known for its love. Real, practical love. Jesus said in John 13:34, this is awesome. John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's a whole lot of love. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You guys, honestly, we don't need an evangelistic outreach. If first service alone, there's enough people at first service that if we just got up and started loving people in the most powerful word I'm thinking about right now, realsies, for realsies. I mean, get all up in your neighbor's life with love. When's the last time? Imagine, first service. What if first service is under oath to make cookies for their neighbor. Say, Jack, my neighbor is Satan. Satan lives next door to me. Then make Satan some cookies and take him over there. You might see the horns go down a little bit. And you know what? What a great example. Just use this. Use this. Say, hey, listen, look, I know we don't get along. I know we've had our issues in the past, but here's the deal. I went to church today. My pastor said that we ought to be loving like Jesus. And so he mentioned, first service, making some cookies for our neighbors. And so I'm just doing that. Okay, here you go. Do you realize if you just even did it like that, your neighbor would go, thanks. Honey, who was that at the door? They might say, Satan, our neighbor. Because they probably think you're Satan. Beelzebub came over and brought us cookies. Why? What happened? What's the matter? I don't know, they said something about that. They went to church and the message was about baking cookies or something. You can do that. Every one of us can do that. You can even blame me when you knock on the door. I'm supposed to do this. Get up and do it. Every church that has a personality, notice, and every church does, has a little bit of a different focus than some other church. That's designed by God. There are some evangelistically leaning churches. There are some teaching leaning churches. There are some churches that are very, very involved in inner city issues. There are some other cities that are very involved in, and you get the story, you get the picture. And all that's fantastic. Not every church is supposed to be exactly the same. Thus, God gives a church a personality. But what it does must be motivated by love. Always. Number 3, look at verse 5. God's recipe, mercy, love. 3rd is grace. God's recipe for forgiveness is grace. Verse 5, but if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, that is me only, but all of you, the whole church, to some extent. But look, not to be too severe. Don't gang up on the guy and kill him now. Grace is the companion to mercy. If mercy says, you deserve a spanking, but you're not going to get it, grace comes along and says, do you want to go get an ice cream at the store? You understand that I just committed some big sin, and I just got away with an inch of my life? I received mercy. And yeah, I understand that. But do you want to go get an ice cream? I'll buy it for you. That's grace. How cool is that? You should do that to your kids. Not often, though. Not often. The Bible says, listen, in Numbers 32, 23, now you need to hear this. Everybody, tune in. Listen very carefully to this, especially the technical doctrine of it. Numbers 32, 23. But if you do not do so, then take note. That is, if you don't repent, believer, take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Everybody look at the screen. Go to the camera. Okay, you see this? See my finger? What I'm doing right now is what that verse means. To be found out is to be pointed out in a crowd. You see this? And you know this is true. The Bible says if you don't repent of your sin, it's going to be found out. The word found out means to be pointed out publicly. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, church family, get this right now. Have you sinned a sin? And it may be you in your thoughts. It may be a sin regarding you and somebody else. Or you and five people. Or you and seven people. According to the biblical rules of confession, you are to go to either, listen, God first, and then that person, or God first, and then those two people, or three people. Are you with me? You don't go grab a microphone, tweet, text, or Facebook the sin. You are to confess it to the person, or if it's God only, to God only. Listen to the love, and are you listening? Yes. Listen to the brilliance, love, and mercy and grace to God's formula. If Joe sins against Mike, or Bill against Susie, Bill is to go to God first, and then go to Susie, and then probably back to God. Okay? Why? Because that was the person offended. That was the person sinned against. Now watch this. If you don't do that, then God will publicly turn up the heat. Until what? Until you repent. So listen, maybe you've committed some sin. Nobody knows about it, but God only. And God is speaking to you. Then you are to confess it to God. Don't go online and say, hey, whew, I sure feel better today after today's sermon. I committed this sin back in 1949, and I confessed it, and now everyone is tainted in their mind about something that you should have never made public. And you've offended a lot of people when it should only have been talked about to God because you only sinned against God. If you sinned against two people, then you should go to those two people. Do you understand that? Then listen, I have no story in my mind. I have no episode in my mind. I'm just saying this. To text, to Facebook, to post, to blog about someone else's sin is to enter into that sin and to be as guilty as they are. That is the sin of gossip and division. And God says, I hate it. And I will not hold the person who sows discord, division among the brotherhood, guiltless. Be very wise. If that verse terrified you a moment ago, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. That's true if you don't repent. Repent of it. See that you've sinned against God and get away from it. Stop it. Make amends. If you harden your heart against God, and listen, maybe this is a warning to someone who's living in sin right now. God may be speaking to you right now, and he's saying, confess it to me and forsake it. Or if you don't, he says, I will point you out in a crowd. And you know what that looks like? Wherever that person goes, there is a cloud of guilt and shame over their life so much that they almost have it written across their face. Everyone else knows there's something wrong with them. Have you noticed that? You know what I'm talking about? He's like, are you okay? What's the matter? I'm fine. Yeah, okay, I just thought I'd ask. There's something wrong. This is serious. Number two, verses 6-8, God's recipe for forgiveness and restoration, mercy, love, and grace. Number two is verses 6-8, God's design for restoration is this. God has a design for restoration. Man, aren't you glad? I'm so glad. This is awesome. God has a design for all of us to be restored back into the family of God. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 John that all of us sin. We all sin. Isn't it very kind of God to not throw us out of the family the moment we sin after being saved? Yes. Number one thing is this. God's design for restoration is, believe it or not, verse 6, discipline. Will you write it down? On the count of three, can I hear you say the word discipline? One, two, three.
Discipline.
So you can say it. It is real. But we live in a culture that thinks discipline is a dirty word. And we are destroying our churches. We are destroying our businesses. We are destroying our families and our children because we don't understand the biblical definition of discipline. It's to be rooted in love. It's to be rooted in mercy. It's to be rooted in grace. It's God's design for restoration. No one is ever restored back into a church without biblical discipline. They may come and go, but there's been no spiritual restoration made by the design of God. Do you all hear what I'm saying? This is critical. There's a lot of people that go in and out of a church who, because of unconfessed sin and undealt with sinful conduct, the church is polluted and it never grows, it's never holy, it's never effective. It's a living, breathing organism, the church, and discipline. He says in verse 6, this punishment, they are talking about the punishment that Paul said, this is what I want you to do, cast the guy out. This discipline, this act, which was inflicted by the majority, notice not everybody was for it. You're not going to have everybody for it. Is sufficient for such a man. What a beautiful statement that is. This guy, he got nailed. He got cast out. And apparently that donkey did go by at a high speed and just clipped him, scared him to death. The guy wound up repenting and making restitution, came back to the church and has been restored. Paul is saying, hallelujah. Isn't that great? I can tell you right now, 21 years as a church, there's been two men in my life where I have rebuked biblically with my Bible open for their conduct, and they repented, and they are living, breathing, dynamic ministers in this church today, and that was 20 and 15 years ago for each guy, okay? But there's For every one of those guys that receive it, there's 20 guys who won't receive it. And here's the tough thing as a pastor. You guys are, and you should be, I have to live this world of protecting you and the person who has sinned against you. So watch this. Let's say, I'm hypothetical, I'm making this up now. Let's say someone sins against our children's ministry. That's just what I'm saying. Someone sins against our children's ministry, and it would put your children in peril. Okay? We find out about it, we pull the guy off to the side, and we discipline him based upon the Bible. Watch this. And we say, for example, you can't teach, and you're out of children's ministry, you can't use that language in front of the kids, you're in the penalty box, and sit in that corner of the sanctuary, and in fact, that's where you're going to be until we are convinced of your repentance. Do you guys all hear me?
Yes.
But you know what? I get letters. I'm making this up. This has not happened. I get letters, though, that would say, I'm leaving the church. Why? I'll call you. I'll write you. Why? What happened? Because Fred's not teaching my children anymore. What am I supposed to do with that? Watch. I know something. You see what I'm... Are you guys with me?
Yes.
What I know what you want. You want me to tell you all the dirty details. Why? So you have something to tweet. So you've got something to gossip about. The Bible says we love morsels. Like that. Why? What happened? I won't say a word. You know how hard it is, and if we're going to be a godly church, if I know something that is private about somebody and it's caused them to step out of the public view, I'm the bad guy. I can't tell you the truth because then I would be entering into the sin of gossip. You get upset, and this happens. You get upset and you leave thinking that we're bad, but in reality, this person was sinning. We kept their sin private, put them in the penalty box because it didn't warrant a public rebuke. They repented. Do you see what I'm saying? Wow. It's not easy. Which I think is why a lot of churches don't deal with confrontation. How many of you have been hurt or offended by something that has gone on in a church? Raise your hand. Put your hands up. How many of you are lying right now? Put your hands up. You guys, there's no way that you can be committed to a church that is a living, breathing organism and not suffer your pride, flesh, opinion, feelings getting trampled upon. You want to know why? All of us are sinners saved by the grace of God in a church. You hear that? Well, it really hurt what they said. I'm not discrediting the fact that it hurt you. Just thank God Jesus never hurts you. Well, see, that's the problem. I really don't have any faith, and I want to put my faith in people. And when they hurt me, then I get all disillusioned. That's what you are actually doing. Right? Think about that. Who doesn't have a heart that's been kicked or offended? I have to tell you, in most cases in my life, I had it coming. I really did. But it takes a person committed to the Lord Jesus. I mean, God bless the Corinthians. They were a messed up church, you guys. But you know what? A lot of people hung in there. And they grew by it. Is your heart bitter today? Has ministry violated your life? And you have just rolled up the carpet. You've brought down the sign. You shut the doors and you're out of business. I'm not serving God anymore because people have hurt my feelings. And then there's the pendulum swing to the other side where I have to be careful about. I grew up, before I became a Christian, I grew up used to having my feelings hurt. And I got so used to it that it just hardened me against people. I'm not saying this is good. Hear me out. And as a non-Christian, that pain and that rejection was converted into anger and violence. And there was no mercy, there was no grace, and there was no love. And when you don't have that, you have pure rage and vengeance. And without Christ in your heart, That will reign supreme in your life. Even in the life of a Christian, with unrepentant, undealt with sin, it often manifests itself with a flare of rage. Where did that come from? Something that's not been dealt with at the cross. And I'm convinced, I believe the reason why I got saved at the age of 19 is because I probably would have been dead by now. I would have either gone to prison or somebody would have killed me. And Jesus came into my life. And today, maybe because we've got to pick this message up next time, It's too valuable to rush. You, as a believer, are either bitter and you've closed up shop and you're not open to God anymore, or maybe you're not a Christian and you're saying, I need forgiveness in this area of my life. I'm held captive. The people that have hurt me, I want to get them. You ever feel like that? I'll leave you this last verse. Jesus himself is the one who instituted church discipline, people. Did you know that? Jesus himself? Here it is. Matthew 18:15. Jesus says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, this is the family of God. If your how many of you ever had a brother sin against you, a Christian sin against you? Again, there's a lot of liars that attend first service. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Leave your computer or your phone at home and go to him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you, that's the next visit, take with you one or two more. That's godly brothers and sisters, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That's godly. If he refuses to hear them, then tell it to the church. That doesn't mean get on Facebook. It means take it to the church leadership. But if he refuses even to hear the church or the church leadership, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. It doesn't say he is a tax collector or a heathen. It says treat him like an unbeliever. What does that look like? You know now. This person who will not repent, remove them from the body so that Satan will beat them up and that they'll come back repentant. Isn't that sweet? You guys, this is love, mercy, grace. God's path, we'll get into next time, of restoration. And I'll end with this. There may be a lot of us that attend this church, but you know what? It ain't nothing compared to how many people that are Christians who don't go to church anymore. Do you realize if we had a crusade to reach the Christian who is not going to church anymore, there wouldn't be stadiums big enough in America to hold them all. There's more disgruntled Christians not fellowshipping than there are Christians attending church. And what if God's plan is to have them be forgiven, restored, so that the body of Christ can grow in holiness? That's the plan. See, it doesn't matter how big the church gets, but it does matter how holy the church gets. It doesn't matter how wide it gets, it's how deep it becomes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a lesson called Say You're Sorry, it's really a mini-series that takes a look at the first two paragraphs of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Say You're Sorry is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you signed up to receive Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals called Real Life Devotions? Remember, you'll find them in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners love them. In fact, here's what one subscriber wrote from overseas. He says, I continue to be blessed by my pastor through these real-life devotionals. It's amazing how I can now continue being blessed in Austria. Grace and peace to you all. Isn't that great? And that comes from Daniel in the beautiful city of Salzburg, Austria. So thank you so much for that, Daniel. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's real-life devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need to get in touch by phone, that number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.